Turn with me in your pew Bible this morning to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And our message this morning is the second name in this verse, Our Mighty God, that we're going to explore and look at today and what that looks like. We will not read from these verses, but I will touch on Adam and Eve in the garden and also the woman at the well. And you'll get that scripture as you get into the message today of what that looks like and what Our Mighty God is about. And you're going to see some things come at a little bit different angle this morning that you might not have ever thought of before. And so I hope to challenge you with that this morning to make you think a little bit deeper about what our mighty God and who he is. And so read with me or read along as I follow along as I read this to you this morning. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather here in your name this morning, we pray that your Spirit bring this word to life. Lord, in the other chapters within the Bible and Scripture that I'll share this morning, I pray that, Lord, you'll just enlighten us. Lord, you'll teach us your ways through this message and through the Scripture, Lord, and may it resonate within our own lives. And so I pray for those that have gathered here today that you open their hearts, their minds, and their souls, that the Spirit may not only teach, but also just, Lord, in a way that they'll point out, you know, who we should be in this world. And Lord, I pray that these words are your words, never my own. And I pray for that same Spirit to fill me this morning. In Jesus I pray, amen. A few questions for you this morning before I show you kind of a humorous picture. Have you ever found yourself at the mercy of someone else when you couldn't do nothing about maybe a situation that you found yourself in? Has your car or vehicle ever broken down while you're quite a distance from home and you wonder, what am I going to do now? How am I going to get out of this situation? Have you ever been traveling and gotten lost and you had to ask for directions? And how hard was that for you to do? Now today we have GPS and we got our phones and we got stuff in our vehicles that we can usually find ourselves around. But what about this one? Have you ever had a flat tire and you gone to get the spare out and you found that the spare was flat as well? You ever had that happen to you? And so sometimes in life we have to get a little bit ingenious of how to take care of those problems. Right? You find a way to get yourself out. Well, sometimes those situations that you find yourself in life, they're not so easy. They don't feel right. They're hard. They're difficult. And so this morning we study about a mighty God. Well, who is a mighty God to us? What does that look like in our lives? And how does he help us in situations that we might find ourselves in? So we must remember this morning, it's still easy to get stranded or lost in life. Not just physically, but also spiritually, you and I can get lost. We can get stranded. We can stall out in our faith walk. And so we need someone who can rescue us. We need someone that can save us from that moment or that place or wherever we found ourselves. Now, last week we discovered that Jesus is our wonderful counselor, and we learned about that. Today we're going to learn about and discover that he is our mighty God. And what does that look like? And so this prophecy came to us a couple hundred years before his birth. And I shared that with you last week. This is prophecy that Isaiah spoke, that there's something big on the horizon. It's going to change the way that you and I live life. And it came in the birth of Jesus Christ. And of course, Isaiah speaks of Jesus. And according to Isaiah, you heard the names this morning. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But he's a mighty God who's able to rescue us. He's a mighty God who's able to save us. We're going to understand that this morning by the end of this message. And so look at what it says, and I don't have all these scriptures, and if you have your outline with you this morning, you can write yourself some notes, but I'll speak from some of these today. Luke 19, verse 10. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's you and I. We were lost. Or maybe we still are lost in our spiritual lives this morning. Jesus is our mighty God because he knows exactly where you are in life. He knows what roads you've traveled. He knows what turns you've made. He knows the dead-end roads that you've been down that have been terrible and horrible and have not gone well for you. Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. And you might ask, wow, that's kind of scary. But how does he know all of this? And so that's where the story comes in from the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Let me share just a few things with you. And this is a story that, go home and read this week. John chapter 4, this woman, she comes to the well. You know the story, but let me just highlight a few things here this morning. Do you remember how the conversation went? Jesus comes to the well, and he finds a Samaritan woman there. And he speaks to her. And he asks her for a drink of water. She's shocked. Because a Samaritan never talks to a Jew. Ever. They don't conversate. It's not proper to be having, especially with the man at the well. But the conversation keeps going. And they continue to talk about this spiritual water that Jesus speaks of. That it will heal. You'll never thirst again. And she becomes interested. It's got her attention. And she asks, I'll take some of that. I'll try some of that. And you remember where the story goes next? Verse 16. Jesus says, go call your husband and have him come here with you. If you know the story well enough, we all of a sudden have a problem on our hands, don't we? Because a woman's put on the spot. Her lifestyle is exposed. How does Jesus know everything about my life? I never met the man before. And she says, I have no husband. And Jesus doesn't just leave it at that, but he even exposes her lifestyle even further, and he says this to her, you're right when you say that you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five. And I think he spoke that with grace and love and gentleness to her. I know all about your life, ma'am. There's nothing that you can hide from me. I know your sinfulness. I know how you're living right now today with the man you're living with that you're not even married to. But he knows every little single detail about her life. He knows her heart. Her lifestyle is completely exposed to him. He knows what she's done and with whom she has done it with. Now here's the point of this passage that I'm trying to draw out this morning for you, that he knows the same things about you and I. And that can be a little bit difficult for us to hear that this morning, because that can cut to the heart, because we know that you and I, we're not perfect. We're sinful. We understand that. But he knows exactly what's going on in your life. And here's the best part about the whole thing. He still loves you. Just the way that you are. Broken, dirty, sinful. You don't deserve it. And he says, I don't care. I still love you for who you are. I know your heart. I know it's not perfect. I know what you've done and to whom in your life. But Jesus knows right where you are. And when I say that this morning, I'm talking not only physically, but spiritually in your life as well, at a deeper level this morning with you. He knows right where you are. He knows the spiritual shape that you're in because he is a mighty God. He knows. And so let me ask you this question this morning. Here's even a more important question for you to reflect on this morning. Do you know where you are? That's the bigger question, because God knows where you are. But do you know where you are spiritually? Do you understand that? Do you grasp that? Just like the woman at the well. Do you know where you are? Do you remember the story of Adam and Eve in the garden? Most of you probably learned that in Sunday school at one time, whatever. But do you remember what happened to them after they ate the forbidden fruit? The apple? They were exposed, right? They were shameful. They made garments and they hid from God in the garden. And God comes to them and he calls out to Adam, "Where are you? Where are you?" Do you think that God didn't know where Adam was? God knew exactly where Adam was. See, there's the deeper question this morning. He's saying to Adam, "Where are you? Spiritually, Adam. What happened? What's going on?" God knew where he was. But you see, he needed Adam to realize, "Adam, do you know where you're at? Do you know what just happened here? Sin has entered. There's a chasm between you and I now. What are we going to do about that?" Part of reaching spiritual safety is knowing right where you are in your life. Part of reaching safety is knowing that you and I are lost spiritually. Do you and I realize that we've made some bad decisions? We've done some wrong things. We've offended others. We've left stuff undone. We've done stuff we shouldn't have in our lives. Do we understand that? Being aware that you and I need Jesus Christ to show us the way. That's what this is all about. And so I ask you the question this morning, where are you? Each and every one of you is in a different place, but ask yourself today, where are you? Go out through this week and ask that question about your spiritual life. Where are you? Because God knows exactly where you're at. Let's discover this mighty God a little more this morning. Jesus is our mighty God. Excuse me. Jesus is our mighty God because he knows what shape you're in. Here's another story that I want to share with you this morning out of Luke 15. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? Anybody remember that story? Do you guys? Shake your head. Let me know. Yeah, there you go. Otherwise, we're going to stop right there. We're going to have Luke 15 today. But anyway, the prodigal son. Let me just share a little bit about with that story. Now, remember the question that I shaped it in this morning. He knows what shape you're in. God does. And so when we look at Luke 15 and the prodigal son, let me share some of those high points with that story. You know that the son goes off and he takes his inheritance with it and he blows it all. He spends it. He's broke. He gets a job feeding hogs out in the pasture and he eats the hogs' food and he realizes, he comes to his senses, and I think only by the work of the Holy Spirit in his life did he realize that, you know what, my life sucks. It's terrible. This is not where God wants me to be. And he decides, you know what? I need to go back to my father. His servants are better fed than I am. I need to return to my father. And so he heads for home. And the Bible tells us, while he was a long ways off, the son, walking down the road, that his father saw him. And his father ran the other direction, right? Nope. He ran towards the son, and he welcomed him home, and he said, "My son was lost, and now he's found." That's the greatest story that's in Scripture, because that's you and I. And the son's trying to repent, and he's asking for forgiveness, and you and I do that. And the father, he doesn't even listen. He says, "Get a robe, get a ring, kill the fattened calf. Let's celebrate." He's home. That's our Father. He knows exactly where you are. And He doesn't care. He wants your heart. He wants you to come and ask for forgiveness. He wants you to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about the shape the prodigal son was in when he returned home? How many of you have been out in the hog yard and then you've come into the house and your wife says, you need to get rid of those clothes or those shoes? Remember some of those days? Now we go into hog confinements and we shower in, we shower out. But, you know, whatever your job might be, if you're in the cattle yard or whatever you might do for a living, you get into places that really can make you stink, right? And so think about the prodigal son. I'm sure he arrived home starving to death, thin, lost some weight. He's dirty. He smelled. Yet the Father loved him just the way he was. You see, every one of us has a foul odor about us called sin. We all have it. You can't escape it. I don't care how much deodorant you want to put on. You can't get rid of it. It's always there. But you know what? Jesus knows that. And He still loves you the same when you live in relationship with Him. He doesn't care how much you smell. He cares that you come to Him, that you ask for forgiveness, and you clean yourself up from time to time. Here's a quote that someone said. I don't know who said this. God loves us just as we are. But then here's the best part of the second half of that quote. But He loves us too much to leave us that way in our lives. God knows what shape we're in, and He's willing to bring us in and reshape us for the kingdom of God, to use us to grow and to build and to draw people in. You see, that's the mighty God that you and I serve. And as we draw closer to God and we give our life to Jesus Christ, He begins to shape us and turn us and twist us into the person that He wants us to be. And that's not always easy. It can hurt from time to time. But God calls us to do that. Let me ask you another question this morning. And you'll probably all answer, yep, that's exactly what I try to do. How many of us have tried to be good? Right? Every one of us have done that. You know, we strive for that. That's not a bad thing. How many of us have tried to be good? How many of you, are, and me included, have tried to do the right thing? Live a life of integrity. Do what you're supposed to do according to Scripture and the Word of God. But God knows the efforts that you have made to save yourself. You've tried. But when it comes to being saved, we are at the mercy of someone else. No matter how hard you try, you won't succeed. Let me read another verse to you this morning out of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. And here's the point you need to get this morning, since it's Christmas. It's a gift from God. And all you have to do is accept it. That's it. But such a hard gift to accept for many. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. None of those things. You just have to accept it as a gift from God. And so God knows our efforts. He knows how hard we've tried. But only He can save you. Only He can rescue us. It doesn't matter how good you've been, or you still need a Savior, because He is a mighty God who can save. God knows. He not only knows where you've been, but He knows what shape we are in. He knows that we're dirty. He knows that we smell of sin and so on. He knows. Romans 3, verse 23 is on the screen this morning. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's our reality. But we celebrate something totally different in the birth of Jesus Christ. And that's the great part. Because God knows that we need Him. He knows that. Acts 4, verse 12 says, there is salvation in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. There's no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. And the world will tell you a lot of different things. That there's many ways there, but there's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. And here's the most important part that you leave here this morning. If He's knocking on your heart today, and you might already be in a relationship with Him, which I'm thankful for, and many of you are believers here this morning, but maybe you're not. If He's knocking on the door there this morning, it's your job to let Him in. If He's there working in your life and you know something is different and I've never been there where I've just given everything to God. And so here's the point. He's the rescuer, but He will not come unless you call on Him in your life. That's what Scripture says. Whoever calls on Him, on the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Romans 10, verse 13. That's what it's about. And here's the sad reality today. This is truth. Not everyone who gets lost gets found. That's sad. That speaks of those that won't make it to heaven, that don't believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we know where that leads in our lives. And we don't want anybody to go there. But not everyone who gets lost gets found. But then there's good news. That's what we celebrate today. Everyone who calls in the name of Jesus will be saved spiritually. Notice I didn't say physically. Because sometimes things come into our lives that will take us off this earth. Whether sickness or death or an accident or whatever. But God says, I have saved you spiritually no matter what happens to the body if you call upon Him. And so let me ask you this question this morning. How about you? Are you saved spiritually? Have you ever called out to God, God, I need you? Jesus is our mighty God. He's got the power to seek. He's got the power to save. Call to Him. Whatever's going on in your life today. And I guarantee that He will come and find you. And He'll give you rest. And He'll give you peace. And all of God's people said, Amen.